Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening.
Back to Austin Hill in the Morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
7:35 on this, the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life. It's Pastor Appreciation Month all month long during the month of October. Some tips on how to show appreciation, not only at this time of the year during the month of October, but year-round, and ways in which you can bring honor and show appreciation to your pastor. We'll get to that coming up in just a few moments. How is the church, universally speaking, I'm speaking very broadly, how is the Christian community in the United States of America doing with doctrine? You say the D word, and that sounds kind of dull and boring, and it's not exactly the thing that goes up on the marquee sign to bring the masses in, right? But it strikes me as I sit here behind the microphone, oftentimes standing behind the microphone every weekday morning from 6 till 8, talking with some very thoughtful leaders in the Christian community across our country, it strikes me that indeed there is current concern, a growing concern, that the evangelical church movement in particular across our country is abandoning core parts of our doctrine, essential historic Christian doctrine, and chucking the cargo of faith off the old ship, so to speak, as a means of becoming more culturally and socially palatable. Well, in comes Justin Holcomb. Mr. Holcomb is an author and a professor. He has taught philosophy and theology. He's also a professor at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary and the Reformed Theological Seminary. He's written a couple of very intriguing books, one of them entitled Know the Creeds and Councils, and another one called Know the Heretics. Let's join Justin Holcomb now. Mr. Holcomb, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate that, especially with that kind of setup about the importance of doctrine and theology for the church today.
Well, I, to use a sports analogy, tried to throw the ball right over the plate, and so we're anticipating you knocking it out of the park. But let's talk about Know the Creeds and Councils. What do you say to the person who says, well, wait a minute, I belong to a Bible-based church, and we don't need to focus on these creeds and all the historic councils and whatnot. We go right to the Scripture. You've heard that before, I'm sure. How do you respond to that?
Sure, and I appreciate that impulse, and I do want people to focus on the Scriptures. The good news is that Jesus has been building and protecting and guiding his church for 2,000 years, and there's also the wealth of wisdom that God has given the church to protect the church, to help them proclaim the faith clearly, and to train up children and new believers. And the other thing is that the creeds and the councils are actually summaries of what the Bible teaches. They were faithful Christians who were trying to summarize for a particular issue what the Bible says about the person and work of Jesus, or the authority of Scripture, or the character of God. So the creeds are actually deeply biblical. Frequently, there's lots of Scripture in them. So jumping 2,000 years after Jesus and just acting like nothing happened between the time of Jesus and now is what C.S. Lewis referred to as chronological snobbery, which is to act as if our moment right now is the most important moment ever, and we don't really have to pay attention to anything that happened before. That's our family history. Think of the church as our family. Think of the Christian faith as our family. You would want to know, well, what happened for me to get here? My little girls love hearing the stories about when I was a little boy, and they like hearing my dad tell stories about when he was a little boy. They get the idea of family history, and I wish we had a little bit more of that desire for the family history of the Christian faith, and that's what's in the creeds and councils, our family history.
That's very well stated. I note chapter one in your book of Know the Creeds and Councils. Chapter one is entitled Apostles' Creed. Now, for a lot of us in the pew on Sunday, the term Apostles' Creed speaks to the Catholic Church, maybe some other Protestant denominations as well, but it nonetheless speaks speaks to, I guess, and I want to use this term very loosely, but it kind of speaks to high church, if you will. And yet, I also note that back some 20 years ago or so, a very popular contemporary Christian recording artist named Rich Mullins, who has since passed away, but Rich Mullins kind of popularized the Apostles' Creed by setting it to a very popular pop song that got played a lot on contemporary Christian radio. And I think a lot of evangelicals in particular took that in. They heard what you're referring to, Justin Holcomb. They heard the scriptures cited in this creed song, as Rich Mullins entitled it, but don't understand that that actually has been handed down through the centuries. When you start approaching people with the idea of the Apostles' Creed or creeds and councils and family history, it's just sometimes kind of new stuff for some people.
Absolutely. And I remember that song. I'm 41 and I know Rich Mullins. I grew up listening to him.
Sure.
And I remember learning what the Apostles' Creed was because of his song. And I thought, this is amazing. I mean, and then I think it was either Stephen King or someone else did a song. No, it was Stephen Curtis Chapman, I Believe, I think, or Creed. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Creed. Anyway, it was these creedal statements, and it is new, and many, many Christians around the world, it's not new. I travel around. I've been to Sudan and Uganda and Guatemala, and you meet with Christians, and the Apostles' Creed is just part of their tradition. It was a baptismal creed. It was when people, when they converted and they confessed Christ as their Savior, that would be their creed. That's a baptismal creed. But yes, it is new, and if it's new, then we get to bring back the found treasure. I mean, these are great things that we have in the hills of Christian tradition. We can dig them out and bring them out and you know shine them up and show them. Like, this is how wonderful that my little girl who's 6 years old has memorized the Apostles' Creed. Now, that doesn't save her. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't, it's not like it has any magic in it, but now my little six-year-old girl, she has these categories, and she's saying, Dad, what does crucified mean? Mm. What does ascended mean? I was telling her what the Apostles' Creed mean, and I said, this is what God did for you and his son Jesus because God loves you. And she said, well, I believe that. I said, well, good, then that means that you're a Christian. And she said, okay. I mean, these are great moments for us to train children, to teach other Christians what we believe. I've seen people come to the church. I serve in an Anglican church, mm-hmm. and I've non-Christians have been coming to our service for some of them for years, and we say the Nicene Creed every week. The Nicene Creed is one of the most global and comprehensive creeds, and they came up, a few of them came up, and one in particular and said, well, I know what you guys believe. I don't believe it, but I know what you believe, but I'm going to keep on coming. Okay.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, that's kind of an interesting feedback for a pastor, I would think.
Well, then he said, I'm listening to you all confess your sins and hearing that God forgives you if you believe in Jesus. I don't believe that either, but I'm going to keep coming. Well, then, about 2 years later, one day he came up during communion and said, hey, I believe this now. I mean, I'm thinking the Nicene Creed is an evangelistic tool now, not just some dry, boring, old document that people kind of chant together or something. Like, it has evangelistic qualities. It's a tool for training up children, new believers, and I need it myself. I watch enough TV and hear enough radio where I hear advertisements telling me what's supposed to be more important or what I should be like.
Right.
And the Nicene Creed anchors me back to reality that this is really about God, who's my creator, Jesus, who's my savior, and the Holy Spirit who lives within me to will and do God's good pleasure. I need to be reminded about the real picture of the world on a regular basis, and that's what the creeds do for us.
Justin Holcomb is actually Dr. Justin Holcomb. He holds a PhD from Emory University in Atlanta, and he has taught theology and Christian thought and philosophy at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Massachusetts, as well as the Reformed Theological Seminary. He's author of a couple of intriguing books. We've been talking about Know the Creeds and Councils. Justin Holcomb, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about this other book. I sort of see them as maybe two sides to the same coin, a companion to one another. The other book entitled Know the Heretics. Let's talk about heretics as we continue in just a moment. It's now 7:45. It's the Faith Radio Network that you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill. Our conversation with Justin Holcomb continues.
maker of heaven, the maker of earth.
7:47 on this, the Faith Radio Network. There it is, the voice of the late Rich Mullins singing a song simply entitled Creed, but it was drawn from the Apostles' Creed, which is a tradition, a recitation, if you will, that's been handed down through the centuries, not only through the Catholic Church, but Protestant denominations as well. Our guest, Dr. Justin Holcomb, he's author of a book called Know the Creeds and Councils, and has another book called Know the Heretics. Justin, before we get to the Heretics book, I just want to respond again. That really was an extraordinary story you were telling us a few moments ago with this gentleman who was a non-believer coming to your church on a regular basis and noting that as a result of the creed, I know what you folks believe. He didn't believe it, but he knew exactly what the church stood for and what the gathered assembly of believers, what they were about, and eventually became a believer. Do you have concerns that there might be a lot of other people gathered in assemblies with believers across the country who are not hearing the essential doctrines of the church, and they really don't know what the church stands for?
Absolutely. The two things he noticed was, you all believe this, the Nicene Creed, and you're asking for God's forgiveness for your sins because of Jesus. I know you believe that. And he said, that's new to me. I thought Christianity was just Bible verses about how to live a better life. And when people go into some churches, they think it's about having a better marriage, being a better whatever, being a better citizen. I'm all for, you know, that kind of stuff, but that's not the core message of the Christian faith. It isn't be a better version of you. It is that you have rebelled against our Creator, and He has done everything He needs to do at a very costly price to reconcile with you. That's the message that we are celebrating the Apostles' Creed. So I think when you don't have these anchors to remind us what is the core message, we start going off into marketing, life, bettering your life and life transformation. Yeah, Jesus will transform your life, but we're not pitching life transformation. We're trying to tell the world about our great loving God who is also holy, and he wants to redeem and reconcile the world, and he has done that through his Son who is also God, Jesus Christ, and he lived, died, rose again. So, yeah, I think we're off message in many churches.
Justin Holcomb, why write a book called Know the Heretics? Being heretical or being a heretic is something to be avoided. Why do I want to know, why should I know about those who didn't understand the scriptures and the teachings of the church accurately?
It's a fascinating study. I wrote both of these books to be very accessible. Each chapter is like 2,000 words. It's like a long blog post. And I wanted to understand church history better, so I was trying to teach myself and writing it for my friends. And when I got to the heretics, they're fascinating because they were asking very good and important questions. Who is Jesus? Was he really God, or was he really human? Which one was he? Was he both, and how is that going to happen? How are we really saved, by faith or by good works? They were asking very important questions that need to be asked. Their problem was they were answering it incorrectly. They were answering it without really giving attention to the full authority of Scripture and what Scripture said. The reason to study them is because, one, these are questions that many people have. You know, many Christians have these questions. Many of their non-Christian friends have these questions. Two, it actually helps you understand the family history because what they did, because of these heretics, the church had to respond, and because of that, we have so much of the wealth that we have now. The church had to say, well, we do believe that God is one God with one nature and three persons, and that Jesus Christ is both God and both man. He's one person, but he has a divine nature and a human nature. And so these heretics caused the church to actually crystallize and say exactly what they believed. The third reason is because the topics they're talking about are important for salvation. Not, you know, believe these propositions so you'll be saved.
Right.
I believe that's true. But if Jesus, for our salvation, the salvation measures to work, Jesus needs to be fully man and fully God. We need a Savior who can represent us before a holy God, and that's what Jesus does. We also need a Savior who can actually powerfully deal with the sin and the effects of death that overwhelm us. And so our Savior being fully God, fully man was important, for that's how salvation works. And so that's another reason, is because our salvation is not just based on us having a nice feeling about God having a nice feeling about us. It's about, what did Jesus do? You know, the Father sent him, Jesus accomplished salvation, and the Holy Spirit applies it to us, our lives. And that's what these heresies were getting at. They were questioning some of the foundational truths of the Christian faith, and they caused the church to restate clearly what exactly the Christian faith is.
Very interesting. Justin Holcomb, as you describe this, it occurs to me that over the course of my lifetime, and I'm not all that much older than you, over the course of my lifetime, Western society and American society in particular has kind of, in some ways, morphed out of this time of extreme secularism and become more open to, shall we say, spiritual things and to a belief about a God or the existence of a God or the possibility of an existence of a God. But it's absolutely, that openness is absolutely not, at least in my view, Christian specific. It's not about the God of the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's about God, however you want to characterize him. I'm wondering if you agree with that assessment, and if so, do you believe pastors are adequately trained in these essential Christian truths?
I do believe with your assessment. I believe that many people, if they say we believe in God, they believe in a God who's not terribly holy, who's not going to be judging anybody, and humanity that's not sinful but just needs a little bit of advice, and that God's inviting us into a kingdom that doesn't have a cross but just has basically a bunch of rewards if you're kind of nice. That's what happens, is our society has made God in our image, and so I completely agree with the assessment. I also believe that various denominations, various churches have different strengths, and many denominations are very strong on the theological foundations. But as you can tell, as you said at the very beginning, doctrine doesn't sell. And if you have a church that's focused on getting people there in marketing, well, if doctrine doesn't sell, you're going to downplay the whole we believe stuff. You're going to start pitching life transformation.
Right.
You're going to start turning it basically into Dr. Phil with Bible verses. Hey, I like Dr. Phil. That's fine. But that's not church. That's not what scriptures teach. And sometimes he says the same thing that we would say. But no, our job as ministers is not to be, Oprah or Dr. Phil with some Bible verses. We're actually talking about a miracle that God came to earth to redeem us after we rebelled against him, and that he rose from the dead after he died on our behalf. That's not good advice. That's really good news. And if we need to be more about the good news, but not just a good feeling news, but the real historic news. And that requires doctrine. That requires knowing what this stuff is and what it means.
Professor Justin Holcomb, author of two very crucial books, among others, Know the Creeds and Councils, and another entitled Know the Heretics. Justin Holcomb, thanks as always for joining us. I appreciate that, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Michael.
It's 7:55. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.